Mercury Comics. L'Angoliere e Giobin presentano le interviste itineranti di due inviati tra le nuvole. Buongiorno a tutti, siamo qui alla da Pop Store, siamo insieme a Danito che ci guarda e a Peter Cooper. Peter Cooper è a fianco a me. Peter Cooper, per chi non lo sapesse, è un vincitore tra gli ultimi premi che ha vinto di un Eisner Award, e siamo qui proprio per parlare del volume che l'ha portato alla vittoria. Il volume si chiama Rovine in italiano, Ruins in inglese. L'intervista che sentirete sarà tutta in inglese, e quindi cominciamo. Hi Peter.
Hello.
So, I read all your book. It's very, very interesting. There's a multi-level story, because there is a butterfly, there is a couple, there are individual problem of a couple, mm-hmm. problem of a nation, problem of the world, probably. So, why Ruins?
Why the title?
Yep.
Well, for that reason, actually. It's like it's also, I mean, things being ruined, but also the history and there being these empires that have fallen, that in Mexico and in Italy is the same thing, where you get to see that evidence of passing empire. And I think that's a good guide for the present. But it's also, you know, I hope I got a good amount of light into the book as well, and to tell the whole story of both the couple and Mexico and the monarch butterfly. There's also this fairly positive thing. The environment is incredibly beautiful, and I tried to make sure that I conveyed that as much as I was conveying all these other ideas, which is just the difficulty for everybody to survive, and emotionally and actually. And the butterfly, the monarch butterfly, comes a 2,000-mile journey from Canada all the way down. And that's a metaphor, but it's an also actual thing. And what it passes through at times are difficulties, and at times it can pass the borders without any problem, whereas humans have a much greater difficulty.
Just the butterfly.
Just the butterfly. That can that's where it gets easy for the butterfly. Then there's the journey itself, which is very difficult, and with a changing environment. The couple going down there are having their own struggles, but they're also discovering, and I think of it as ultimately having a happy ending, even though it's one of those stories where you may get what you want, but not exactly in the form you expected it.
Yeah.
And so that's very much like life.
Yes. The butterfly. The butterfly is a silent witness that fly from Canada to Mexico. And in her fly, see something that probably could justify the pessimistic idea of George. But paradoxically, she goes to Mexico to create.
Yes. Yeah, they're all of that is there. There's the character, you know, the couple moving down there are George and Samantha, and the butterfly, in fact, they make this journey so that they can mate and have more butterflies. And the story with the couple is that the wife wants to have a child, and the husband is resistant to that idea. He's more nervous about that. And so, yeah, there is a lot of those pushing and pulling between the characters and the circumstances, and even them changing places. I mean, the characters as I drew them, I felt like I was both characters, and yet at the same time, I moved to Mexico for 2 years with my wife and daughter. I have a daughter. My wife and I are doing pretty well together after 34 years. So there's a lot of fiction in the book. What I wanted to do was I wanted to take the experience that I had and then put everything that happened and then everything I saw happen which included this political event where there was a teacher's strike that exploded in front of us, and we really weren't expecting that. We thought we were going to a tranquil little town, and it ended up having federal troops, and I think 23 people were killed.
Yeah, because you were a witness of the
We were witnessing this, but we were a little outside, and so what I was able to do by making it fiction was put the characters right in the middle of events and add characters. It's all based on things that happened and people that I knew and circumstances, but then I got to mix it up a little bit and control it more than reality would let me do if I just made it autobiography. Also, my wife was like, enough with the autobiography. I've done lots of that. Done a lot of confessional comics. And she was, she's like, you've covered that area sufficiently, honey.
Yeah. The couple, see what you just described, the teacher strike, the violence of the local politician, the violence also of the history of the Mexico.
Right.
But
right.
The butterfly are witnessing the same thing, but in not in Mexico.
Right.
The USA.
Well, everything that they have to pass through. And
there
again,
is violence, there is immigration, exploited of workers, there is all better worse thing.
And also surviving being attacked by nature, like birds,
birds
possibly attacking. No, well, one thing that's amazing.
The birds is nature.
That's nature, but that's also, another danger.
Yeah.
And I have at least I put in a few scenes where the butterfly just flies over someplace beautiful, so the reader's expecting yet another problem, and then there isn't one. And I was hoping I could at least, change it up so that it represented the migration of the butterfly represented all these different things. But again, I looked at the path that a monarch butterfly takes, and that's any of those things could be true. It flies over Florida, and so there are migrant workers down below. It flew over New Orleans, where there had been Hurricane Katrina and the whole Ninth Ward that had a terrible trouble. And, people are being stopped at the border of Texas, and there's violence in Laredo, Texas, in Mexico, and Monterrey, which is where it flies over. So it gave me the opportunity to represent all those things, and again, but at the same time say, like, that is true, and the surviving, it also represents what we're trying to survive because of environmental issues that are, in our faces right now.
I know that when you win the Eisner, you talk about president.
Yes, I was really hoping I would win just because it's like nobody had mentioned that there was this election coming up. And I was like, somebody's got to say something. And then like, well, now I have a chance. So but at the time that I was doing that was in July, and really, certainly most everybody I knew did not expect. I thought I was talking about some kind of bizarro universe where, in the crazy world, he wins the election, and then here we are.
Yeah, we are the Berlusconi, so
yeah. So you
different.
Understand about the crazy, bizarro universe.
Yeah. In your volume, you describe a moment where a butterfly pass above some immigrants, but the wall was very low.
Where they were? Well, that particular
wall was very, very low. I imagine a very high or low, because your president always about this low.
Well, it depends on where you're crossing, because there are some high walls and some lower walls, depending on, the Rio Grande is along there, and that in some cases it's, just a small fence. I mean, obviously people are crossing.
Just fence.
Yeah, there's, I mean, the building the wall, that's still one of those mythical things that Trump has been talking about, and what how it will actually happen is it's not even realistic that it, you know, and so there's natural barriers that, but you know, it's billions of dollars that we're talking about. So
something,
another absurd.
Something similar in Italy with the bridge between Italy and Sicily. This is quite similar. The last question. The butterfly was, we said before, just a witness. But also the human in the comics, the human in Mexico, obviously, are not so effective with their situation. They just witness to.
Yeah, they're sort of bystanders in a lot of ways. They're being, yeah, events are happening around them and to them, and how much they can, you know, impact that is you know, well, it's kind of how I felt as a outsider living in Mexico. It's actually illegal to even attend a march as a foreigner, and we went to one of the marches, and I was doing drawings at the time, and my wife, you know, noted like if we stick around, we could get deported. So it's hard to be effective as an outsider that way. But I have, there's characters in the book that are more effective in one way or another.
Yeah.
But
there is a journalist
there's a journalist character who represents. Yeah. He's kind of a mix between a photographer, a photojournalist I knew, and also Brad Will, who is an American journalist who was killed down there, and I very oddly Brad Will, I knew a lot of people that knew him, and I co-published a magazine called World War III Illustrated, and World War III we actually published his writing. And I hadn't edited that issue, so I didn't even realize it was the same person when it happened. So it's very, the degrees of separation were very, very, very narrow. But it's funny, you know, trying to capture these events as an outsider, no matter what. I mean, even talking about Mexico, I'm not a member of that society, so I'm still reporting from a slight distance.
New York Diary.
Yeah, New York Diary. I can report a little more accurately from direct experience, and you know, having lived in New York now for 40 years, it's more of a something that I can talk about with authority. of sorts. I'm not sure that anybody is ever fully, you know, New York is one of those places where I feel like I'm always a tourist. You know, it's every time if I leave, it's like displaced water, like, you know, like it goes jip, and then it's like, oh, were you here? Oh, yeah. We vaguely remember you. But it's but I do nonetheless feel like I have a greater position of authority to talk about those, whereas Rovina is in fact, and you know, much of an outsider's point of view, even though I tried to have demonstrate through other characters that, you know, what the inside perspective was.
Yeah. Another hard question. I know that you, your next comics could be a travel comics, or better, a comics about your travel.
Well, I have a couple of books before that.
Oh,
a
couple of books.
Yeah, well, I just finished a collection of Franz Kafka, 14 short stories, and that'll be the next book that
You already worked about Kafka.
I did Metamorphosis, and years ago, I actually, even in Italy, I had published a book called Give It Up. I've added to those stories, and the book went from 64 pages. It's 160 pages, and I just only finished it before I arrived, and in fact, Donald Trump influenced some of the stories in there because I could kind of reference what's going on with stories like in the penal colony, the vibe is very Trump. And currently I'm working on adapting Heart of Darkness, Joseph Conrad's 1899 novel about the Congo. And that's very much of a travel book, actually. So it was kind of perfect. And I moved back to Mexico from last January until the beginning of May, mm-hmm. so that I could think about, be in the correct mood. I could have gone to Africa, but Mexico is a little bit more familiar and yeah. more reasonable choice. But it had the same temperature and smells and sounds, and that, you know, so it gave me the environment that I needed to think about A Heart of Darkness. And now I'm well underway with working on that. But when I finished that, and these things are published, then what would be my third book, I would love to do a collection of world travel stories. So I'm sort of like, you know, it's somewhat, it doesn't always happen. Sometimes when I finish a book like Rovina, I had no idea what I was going to do next. I just was tired because it took 3 years. It took 3 years to do that, and it took about 5 years of thinking about it and going, this is just too much work. And I really felt deep doubt. In fact, I felt deep doubt even as I worked on it. Like, does anybody need another book like this?
And it was hard.
It was really a struggle, but like a very satisfying struggle, because it was a book that I thought about it so much, and yet I felt like at a certain point, even though I had my doubts, it wanted to be done, and that I had to feel that really strongly in order to get through the years it took to do it without losing my enthusiasm.
Something like George.
Yeah, something like George, exactly. So I think that got into the character, actually. There's that kind of struggle. But that was one that really, you know, doing comics is, it's ironic that people still think of comics as being for kids is it even an art form? That anybody still thinks that is always surprising a bit, just because, for many reasons. But much of my career, it was the idea that they wasn't even an art form was considered by most people, and then that has changed over the years because there's
also
so much
Italy,
work.
We have this problem.
Yes, it's an ongoing problem. But the idea that so I'm working in a form, but what I know from working in it, that it's one of the most difficult art forms. That in order to make it really work, you have to have the ability to write and draw and design and letter and have control over where the reader is going to look, but also have this interaction with the reader. I really think that a lot of the people that think of comics as being childish is because they don't have the visual education. It's easier to dismiss it than to learn it. It's a language. And I've tried to actually fight that that natural response by doing wordless comics.
Yes.
And I'm very interested in that as a form, because it's a language also that has no barriers. So there's, you know, Spy versus Spy I'm regularly doing, so I have what I consider the gateway drug to my other work, because somebody young may, you know, grow up on that and then later look at
you join all of this style in Rovina, because The Butterfly is a wordless novel.
That's a whole wordless you could basically publish that as a separate book and read, you know, without any
words.
There
is also your illustration soul, this one inside, because there's a lot of big illustration.
Yes.
3-page splash page.
Yes. Well, I mean, some of it is trying to capture something that's hard, almost is impossible to capture on paper. the reality of you know, where the butterfly goes.
I can only imagine.
And there's 11 million of them, which I got to visit. It's just it's kind of beyond. You know, I took pictures, I even filmed it, and none of it looks like the experience, the actual experience. But I did a book years ago called The System that was published in Italy by Magic Press. And I very intentionally did that as a wordless book in order to say to somebody who dismisses comics as, you know, the... says, well, you know, I know what comics is. They have word balloons. Or I know what comics is. They're, it's pen and ink with this kind of color. So I did it in stencils and spray paint. And I, and all the things that I had heard people respond to and how they dismissed it, I tried to address that by doing something that didn't conform to the expectation. And then the story can be adult. And yet, you know, you can understand a lot of complex ideas without any words.
Chantin's
another a great example. The Arrival is really fantastic.
The Arrival is fantastic.
Yeah,
work.
Yeah. So there, I mean, there's some there's actually historically some great examples. A guy named Lynn Ward who did a book called God's Man did a few woodcut picture stories in the 1920s. And Frans Masseriel from Belgium did these woodcut stories, and they basically function as early graphic novels, and you can follow the story very clearly
words.
And there's no words at all. That's a form that it really interests me, the language of comics and how that can be played with. And even so, In a book like Rovina, where I have lots of text, there's also huge sections that have no text. Same thing with Diario de New York, is I have many of the stories in there are like shorter wordless, I mean short 14 pages of wordless story that you know, anybody could read. And I really love experimenting with that language. So that I could show it to anyone in the world.
Yeah. He wasn't a bar yet.
I was invited to Jordan last year, and I taught a workshop in comics. And at the end, I had everybody do them as wordless comics because I don't speak Arabic. And it was an opportunity for me to actually assess whether the story was working without having the stumble of language. And then at the end also, I said, well, you can do this, creates an international... set of comics you could show to anybody. And you know, so you can show this to somebody in Israel, you can show this to somebody in the United States, and they'll be able to read your comics. And we ended up in the end doing a magazine, so they've now, which I'm hoping will be an ongoing publication in Jordan.
We are take a picture of this. So thanks a lot.
Sure. Thank you.
Very, very important for us to see your word, so our Italian readers can understand this not so simple comic.
Yes, and not so childish as it would first appear.
Not so. So thanks again a lot, I'll leave you to your
to
readers.
My next job. Thank you.
Thanks. Mercury Comics va in onda, in diretta, ogni secondo martedì del mese, alle 22 su Radio Impronta Digitale, www.improntadigitale.org.